Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And no Dr. Jerry today. He is learning more and filling his brain with more things.
Actually, like, he might call in, you know.
Oh, that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You're right. He might call in and yes. Give us some information on what he's studying and researching this weekend. Dr. Ken Pentland here, Dr. Samira Umat. And on the phone, we have Jim calling in from Gig Harbor. Hi, Jim, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller. So
wonderful.
Greatly appreciate what you folks do, and I hope to become a longevity patient in the near future.
Wonderful.
My question is about prostate cancer. I go to a urologist once a year. My last trip was in June, and my PSA went from 1.8 to 2.5, and my doctor thought that was a little alarming, although I didn't, because I know that I keep track of it, and I know that they're looking for a spike. Mm. So he thought that I should have some tests run. He had me do this DEXO scan or EXO scan. It's like Cologuard, only it's a urine-based test, and I did that, and it came back, and he says, well, normally it's 15, but yours is like 55, and he says, you could have the beginnings of prostate cancer. So he recommended I do an MRI, which I did. Mm. And the MRI came back. I guess my prostate had gone from 29 millimeters to 41, and it's been 29 like forever. Now, I have a new GP here in Gig Harbor who I really like. Mm-hmm. And she did blood work because I'm a new patient. And in 3 months after, my PSA went from 2.5 down to 1.6. Mm. So I'm thinking, okay, is this urologist of mine who I've been seeing for some time, is he churning me? Or is he? And my dad had prostate cancer when he died. He did not die from it, but he died with it. Mm-hmm. So the long story short, I'm scheduled for a biopsy this Thursday. And how dangerous are biopsies when they stick that needle in you? And if there is cancer, what's the possibility of it spreading?
Mm. Yeah, those are very good questions. Yeah. Mm. So, you know, I'm glad that your urologist is taking good care of you. How old are you, sir?
I'm 69.
Okay, so you're very young right now, and important point that you made was that your dad died with and not because of prostate cancer, because a lot of men will get that. It's a very, very slow-growing tumor. I'm glad that they're being proactive for you. Prostate biopsies are a simple procedure. Some people tolerate it easier than others do. There's always this fear that if the needle is being put in from the outside into the prostate gland and that it is extracting tissue, is it bringing out some malignant tissue and then tracking that malignant tissue through the gland and therefore spreading the tumor? That, however,
exactly.
Is not accurate. So there is no evidence that that actually happens. And so I'm really glad that you had the MRI scan done before the biopsy, because now they can have a targeted biopsy, because if they saw any lesion on the MRI scan, they will now target the biopsy towards those lesions so that they don't miss anything. They will look in
and
all
I think they did see a lesion.
I see. Okay, so that's
probably why he said, let's do a biopsy.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yep. It's probably because they saw a lesion that they don't want to miss it, that they want to kind of look at it. So they'll probably biopsy it. They'll biopsy other quadrants. What they're trying to look for is what is the grade of atypical cells, if there are any. Are they looking nasty or are they looking more like normal? And then if they are growing or spreading, are they attacking any the shell, the capsule of the prostate gland, and then is it spread in out of that area that they saw, or is it just restricted in that area of the prostate gland? So they're going to look at different areas. They're going to take biopsies. They're going to see whether it's spreading or not, whether it's restricted in that small area or not. And those are very, very important things. There's no other way to basically get all of this information without doing a biopsy. So it's an outpatient procedure. They'll give you a little bit of local numbing to do it. You will feel a little bit of pain, nothing that can't be resolved with a little bit of Tylenol. You might want to take it a little easy afterwards. If the pain is bad, take a little extra Tylenol for pain relief. You might have a little bit of blood in your urine, but generally within the next few hours afterwards, you will be okay. Most patients usually are fine with it, and there is very little to no risk of it causing dissemination of any cancer seeds. Okay,
what's the chances of anything spreading as a result of the biopsy?
There is none. There is no chance of anything spreading.
That's wonderful. That's what I wanted to know. I appreciate you taking the call. You guys are fabulous. I try to make a habit of tuning in when I'm in town. So anyway, I wanted to do this because the procedure's next week. So,
and Jim, feel free to call us. And if you have any questions after the procedure too.
Yeah. And wish you good luck.
Thank you very much. And I'll do so. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All the best.
Oh, thank you for that, Jim. Here is the phone number to get through with your questions today for the doctors. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Phone lines are wide open for you. You can get your call in. Don't wait until the end of the show. All right. We do have a question, doctors, from Roger. He wanted to know if you've heard of the ZRT Labs saliva test kit for hormones. Could we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. In fact, when I was doing my board certification, David Zava, who was the founder of ZRT Labs, talked at length about saliva testing. It is something that I find very difficult to understand, because if you have taken a hormone and then you're trying to do a saliva test, obviously the levels will go very high. If you've not taken any hormone and you're doing the saliva test, the values will be very low. So within 10 minutes, the numbers can change dramatically.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I have wondered whether they're reliable or not. David Zava has found a way to say that they are reliable. And, you know, because I'm looking at serum levels and I want to know what blood levels are, I've actually never really delved into saliva. There is only one saliva test that I do find very valuable, and that is for adrenal fatigue. So serum cortisol levels are very difficult to catch at the right time. And so blood testing for multiple times in a day for cortisol to determine adrenal fatigue is really hard. And so I do find that saliva testing for cortisol levels for adrenal issues is very valuable test. You can do the test several times in a day. Now, if somebody needed multiple testings in 24-hour period, I don't know. Maybe there's value, but it's not something I've delved into since after my board certification. I keep hearing about it. In fact, David Zava's talking at the A4M meeting coming up here too. But we have found that serum is where we're going, because those values are, you want the hormones, nutrients, vitamins, whatever you're testing in serum to be able to say this is adequate or this is not adequate. So for me, I find that that is a better objective measure, and it gives me more valuable tool to help to let me help my patients. And so I trust the serum values, so I've really not delved into it too much. But yes, I agree.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah. And the cortisol levels I've measured a few times for patients is very helpful. And I think, saliva is probably the one thing that you'd use for cortisol.
Yeah. It's the only one that I will use for testing for hormone levels. And then, yes, I just find that when you are trying to add some numbers so that you make it so that you can read it better, it's like, okay, somebody forgets to put that into the equation when they give you the test result. Now, all of a sudden, you're reading it completely wrong. So, that's my feeling about that.
Okay, very good. Hopefully Roger got some information there. All right, doctors, while we're waiting for the next call, here is that number, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. I heard the words vitamin C. Do we want to be talking about vitamin C this time of year?
Yes, we do. But before we go to that, I'll also add there are some companies that do the, single drop of blood too for testing, and they can give you values. Okay. And I find that if you can give a whole sample of blood, your testing will be more accurate as opposed to giving a drop of blood for the result. Now, we do use MyDNAH. And they also tell us that if the patient is available and we can draw blood, the testing will be more reliable. However, for patients that are out of state and remote and they want to do the test, they can do a finger sample from home and send it in, and they will use that data. But I guess it is an option available if you cannot get to a lab and if you cannot give a sample for a blood draw. But if you do have the option and you can give the sample, I think it's the best option to get a good, reliable reading so that you can then manage.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
All right. Let's go to vitamin C.
Vitamin C, yes.
Well, one of our IV ingredients, in addition to glutathione, is vitamin C. And I think it's an underrated vitamin. I think it's underused. It was isolated only in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. And scurvy.
Well, they found out they could prevent scurvy by eating citrus fruits. Yeah. In the marine industry, but we're one of the only animals on the planet that can't synthesize
vitamin C.
Most mammals and animals can make it on their own, but we have to get it from our diet. And signs of vitamin C deficiency, things like swollen gums, joint pain, slow
bleeding
wound healing.
Gums.
Mm. Yes. And we get it a lot from fruits and vegetables, but when we cook vegetables and fruits, we're reducing the vitamin C content by up to 40%.
Yeah.
So it's often got to be raw or supplemented. And we know vitamin C as an antioxidant, but it actually has a lot of other functions in the body. It's a cofactor for many enzyme reactions, which do a host of functions in the body. Production of collagen and connective tissue, very important, which also has to do with gum disease. And then peptides, production of peptides for the nervous system. Vitamin C is a little known function for that. They did studies that show that people with higher circulating vitamin C levels have lower incidence of cardiovascular disease, hypertension, stroke risk.
I wonder if that's related to the gum disease, because gingivitis and gum disease can predispose to heart disease as well.
Absolutely.
And so if you have high serum levels of vitamin C and you are reducing gum disease and, you're maintaining that gum healthy, then and reducing gingivitis, maybe it's also nidus for heart issues.
Yes. So that's partly why I'm saying, people say, yes, vitamin C, but then they don't bother to take it.
Right. And I've actually noticed that some of my patients that I've put on high doses of vitamin C, oral actually, you can use it orally too.
Yes.
They tend to have better cardiovascular health, and LDL, particularly lipoprotein particle A, might actually be lowered. Mm. So I have a few more patients now trying this, so we'll see whether we can get their lipoprotein particle A down.
There's also good research talking about how people with good levels or high levels of vitamin C have less risk of developing type 2 diabetes, good for metabolic health. Regular use of vitamin D reduces duration of common cold, Although,
yes.
Once you get the cold, it's too late to take the
vitamin
C.
That's right. Okay.
It's a preventative, not a treatment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But you can reduce the duration and maybe the severity.
Yes.
Okay.
Most folks tolerate up to 2 grams a day, but
that's a high dose.
It's a high dose. Some people can tolerate that just fine, but after that, most people will start to develop loose stools.
Yeah.
It depends on the dose and the form of the vitamin C. But if you get an IV version, you can take, you know, some people get up to 100 grams.
Wow.
In an IV. So at the clinic, we usually do up to 10, which is plenty.
Yeah.
10 grams.
Yeah.
5 to 10 grams. And that's, like I said, it goes really well with glutathione as an add-on. So we offer that a lot this time of year.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a flu season, and most viral infections are prevalent. And it's not just because it's the flu season. It's because people are mingling and meeting, and so they're passing the viruses around. And, you know, in the elderly, we know that pneumonia and a viral infection can be deadly.
Yes.
And so to protect yourselves and to prevent it, I think it just makes sense.
All right. And I'm going to ask about the easy, what is that, the emergency that you see in all the offices. It's like, oh, take this. We don't want, I want to find out if that's useful or not when we come back. And your questions too. We are Leading Edge Medicine. We would love to have you give us a call on the show at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in a moment. And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young, forever young, forever young, forever young. May good fortune be with you, may your guiding light be strong. And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat in the studio and Dr. Ken Pentland here as well. And we're taking your questions, about 40 minutes left of the show for you to get in. Don't wait until the very end. Here is that number. It's 1-800-465-8770. Now, each time we do the show, we always hear from longevity patients who have said, I've been a longevity patient for so many years, or since you started. We love that one. Or just started and I'm loving it. You know, we always get such positive encouragement from you, and we're so glad that the system and the program is working for you. So let's talk about longevity patients and doctors and how to get on your health journey. We have what we call a free health analysis. We've been doing this for a very long time, to get you in the door to meet our doctors, to see our facilities, and to find out what's going on with your health right now. And maybe, Dr. Umat, you could explain a little bit about what the health analysis requires.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, it is a peek into what longevity can offer. The free is, I think, you know, just to get you in, really, what really is of value is the $595 blood test.
Mm-hmm.
The free test includes just a simple blood test and also the InBody. The InBody is a very valuable tool, and it gives you an idea of fat versus muscle mass. Muscle is the currency of aging. The higher the muscle mass, the better off you are. And you want to measure that other than just the weight. I have patients in my practice that have a high BMI that's all muscle and very little fat, and their BMI is not a problem. And I also have people that have a normal BMI that have a high fat and very little muscle, and that is a problem because they have sarcopenia, and sarcopenia is normal. So how we read the InBody is very important, but these are very, very small tools, but they're very critical. But the big picture comes from the 595 blood test. That blood test then gets you in with your provider for another 1 hour. So you've already spent about 30 minutes with them. The second visit brings you back in now for an hour visit. And the advantage of that is they've had a chance to see your test results before you come in. They've put some thought into what they see, how they read it, and what they will recommend. And the advantage is they've already met you once, so they know your background. And when you come back for that second visit, they will show you the results, they share that with you, and they'll go through their areas of concern. What I've always said to our providers is that when a patient comes in and fills out the paper, paperwork and they tell you that their concern, number one, two, and three is, I don't know, weight, hormone replacement, mm-hmm. or energy, or sleep, or whatever, don't discount them. But what I find is that when we have had the advantage of seeing your test results, sometimes we have to change what you think is your biggest problem, because that's actually not a problem. That may just be a symptom of a bigger problem, and then the problem becomes what we see in the objective data. So with that lens, or with that eye, or with that knowledge, or whatever you call it, we can then help you prevent that from becoming a problem. See, if you consider that a chronic disease is causing disability, then it, you know that it didn't just happen today. You know, you may develop an infection today, but the infection is because your immune system has been compromised for a long time, because your sugars have been high, because your cholesterol has been high, because you are gaining weight, because whatever. So those issues that have been smoldering and that are quote unquote normal are predisposing you to what then takes you to the doctor, and that then becomes an after the fact treatment. What we do is we say, hey, look at that sodium level. Look at that GGT. Look at that BUN and creatinine. Those numbers are not optimal. Mm-hmm. And when they're not optimal, they're saying the body is starting to struggle. And when it starts to struggle, there is a window of opportunity when you can say, I can change the trajectory of the future over here if you'll give me the chance to help you. And we literally do that. And if you come alongside of us, the reason I carry the longest patients and the oldest patients in our practice is because my patients won't leave.
That's right. They're too healthy.
When they've been with us that long, mm-hmm. they know the value, and it's a relationship. Remember, sometimes some people will ask me, where's the pill I can take to fix it? I don't have a pill.
There's no magic pill.
But yet there is an advance in science and technology and knowledge, even in the few years that I have been here, that allow us to delve deeper and do more than we've ever been able to do in the past. And that's the difference. We started with one thing, we added another thing, and we have now a plethora of things that we can use as tools, and we gauge the changes by looking at the labs and go, you know what, this is a concern and I need to fix it. Or, hey, this is actually not a problem. This is fine. Next time when we look at it, it'll be better, and I know. So how much you want to engage, how much you want to do is entirely up to you. But we have the tools and the knowledge to help you succeed in your life.
Absolutely.
That's the best way I can describe
Very
it.
Very good.
You got something else to add?
Yes. Where do I sign up?
Yeah, I'm ready to sign up. Oh, wait, I'm already a patient at Longevity.
And so are you, sir.
I know.
That's right. Yes, we believe in it. That's why we're here each week. That's why Dr. Mixon and the doctors are here each week to talk about your health, answer questions, and get you healthy. We want to get you moving. We want to have you live the best life you can. As you're aging, we are all aging, right? And wouldn't you like to do it better than maybe your parents did or grandparents? Yes, we want you to be the best that you can be. Here is the number to call to sign up for that health analysis appointment. And we have three locations for you. One in Kirkland, beautiful facility, brand new, just gorgeous, and Tacoma, and also in Linwood. So three locations for you. There's got to be one close by. And this is what you can do. Give us a call at 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, or go online to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com, and you can find out all about us. We want to see you healthy in this new year. All right, we've got another caller here. We have Dale calling in from Lacey. Good morning, Dale. Welcome.
Good morning, Dale.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am a patient of Dr. Pentland, and I recently went in and had a root canal redone, and I ended up with facial cellulitis, mm-hmm. and so I was put on a regimen of, well, they started me out with Z-Pak, and then mm-hmm. went to the clindamycin IV at the hospital, mm-hmm. and pain medication for the swelling in my face, and then it turned into a. They did a CT when I first went in, and then they didn't do a CT the second time I went in, but it took and it caused a pocket of swelling inside my gum and cheek. And anyway, I've just finished that, but I need to know what I can do to take and get my gut health back to... What can I do to take and get that back to where I am optimal after taking all of these antibiotics?
Wow, so sorry to hear about your story, Dale. Root canal generally doesn't cause so many problems, yeah. but glad you're on the mend and glad that things are getting better. Yeah, there is actually quite a lot. Ken, you want to tackle this?
Yeah, so doing that much antibiotics, especially the oral one that goes through the GI route, can, you know, reduce your diversity of your gut flora quite a bit. And the diversity is what helps make it robust. You know, if you think about a cornfield versus a prairie, one is more susceptible to a single disease, whereas a prairie, which is diverse, is much more difficult to decimate because there's so many different types of flora there. And it's similar with the gut. The diversity is what helps it be robust for the immune system, all the different things that each one produces, each of those bacteria. There's some evidence that says the appendix is sort of a reservoir to sort of replenish the gut bacteria after something like that happens, even after colonoscopy prep, which washes out a good amount of bacteria. It will regrow to a certain extent, similar to the profile that it was before. But when you kill off a lot of maybe less prevalent types of bacteria, you lose some of that diversity. So doing things to improve diversity would be things like prebiotic fibers and high doses of certain types of beneficial bacteria to repopulate those that are lost. It's difficult to get some of the minor ones into a capsule, but the prebiotic fibers will help to grow the ones that are still there.
So what are prebiotic fibers?
Right. So things like, soluble fibers, inulin, mm-hmm. that often occurs in certain types of probiotics, potato starch, starches that you find in certain types of grains.
So do you eat grains or do you go looking for a prebiotic mix?
I would probably get a prebiotic mix.
So it comes in a powder form?
Yeah. So certain types of, what's a good one? Maybe acacia fiber would be a good one. That's a nice soluble fiber.
Never heard of it.
Let's see. So there are lots of different types of products out there.
So health food stores would carry a prebiotic soluble fiber.
It's true. Yeah, you can just look for a soluble fiber at a health food store or supplement store. They should have those. That's one thing. Other things that will – so you want to support the GI lining, make the neighborhood more habitable, mm-hmm. right? There are lots of things you can do for that, including things like, I don't know if you're a vegetarian or not, but something like bone broth is incredibly helpful for the GI lining and can help restore gut health in a lot of ways. I've used that for GI patients quite a bit.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I've never suggested that before, bone broth. Mm. I've suggested it for other things, but mm-hmm. not for gut health.
Right. So the collagen content and the enzymes and things like that have a nice effect for the GI lining.
Okay. All right. I mean, I know when you're sick, you intuitively go towards clear soups and things. Mm-hmm. So I've recommended it. Mm-hmm. So I guess I've done it without knowing mm-hmm. that it was going to help with the gut lining as well.
Right.
Okay. So bone broth. What mm-hmm. else?
Mm-hmm. You want us oftentimes giving the digestive system some rest. So mm-hmm. Intermittent fasting will extend the time between meals, is keeping the meal times to within, you know, a 10 or even 8 hour window during a 24 hour period will provide more digestive system rest. and that will often encourage more diversity as well.
Mm. Okay.
Hey, I did that during the time I was taking the pills because you have to take and do it in 8-hour increments. So, I mean, I spread my meals out over a long period of time in a day. Mm-hmm. But I'm also celiac, so that's...
Sure.
Yeah, I just went in for a blood draw, and it's going to affect my blood draw, I know. In fact, Doc's going to have to take and give me a call here before too long, and he's going to go, oh, why are your numbers the way they are?
Hmm. Are you having any other GI symptoms at this point?
I've been trying to just take and eat pretty... I've been doing a lot of soup, mm-hmm. bean soup with lots of vegetables in it, kale and spinach and parsnips and turnips and carrots and celery and stuff like that to try and just – and soups this time of year are a good time. It, mm-hmm. it just feels like a mm-hmm. good time to eat soup anyway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I heard you say prebiotics and something to improve the lining of the gut. We didn't talk about probiotics and we didn't talk about postbiotics. Mm. So shall we touch on those a little bit?
Sure, sure.
Yes. Yep. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And stay on the line with us, Dale. We will take a break here and be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your questions. Have time for maybe just one or two more calls. And Dale, you stay on the line. Here's the number to call. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Ken Pentland in the studio. And we have Dale on the line talking about that gut health.
Hello, Dale.
Hey, Dale.
And you were finishing up.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned probiotics before and postbiotics. Postbiotics, of course, are the things that probiotics make for us mm-hmm. that we can't make for ourselves. Short-chain fatty acids, butyrate, things like that. And that's some supplements now include those. Some of the higher-end ones you can find on the shelves.
What do you mean? Which, like probiotics contain postbiotics?
Or? Yes. Some actually include it in the capsule now.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
So what kind of a probiotic would be a good one for Dale or other patients like him to take?
I would do a rather intensive one, a high-dose one. Uh-huh. So sometimes we would do, most capsules include something like 5 to 20 billion CFUs, colony-forming units of bacteria. In this case, I'd probably do something like 100 billion
colonies. I agree.
Even
absolutely.
Multiple times a day, mm-hmm. even. And they have even have packets of powder that you can mix with juice or something like that. And that's probably what I would do.
Is the VSL?
VSL is one that has been used a lot. This one is it's a different brand. It's a professional brand that has a 7-day course with high dose packets that I use. It's called the Symbiotic Intensive. And that, I think it's from Sir Royal, I believe. Anyway. But something like that would be a good one that I've used for patients in the past with similar kinds of conditions.
Okay, that's Sir Royal, is that correct?
Don't quote me on that. I'll have to look it up.
We can look it up during the break, Dale, and after we come back from the break, we can give it to you. But antibiotics are so life-saving. Unfortunately, the gut really takes a toll on our use of antibiotics. So first of all, For people who don't need antibiotics, please don't take them. Just reserve them for when you really do need them, because sometimes if you take too many, they don't work when you really need them. Now, when you really do need them,
as in this case,
then as in this, absolutely, 100%. I mean, he was in the hospital getting IVs.
Yeah.
And he had cellulitis. Absolutely, he needed them. And in this case, when you do really need them, you want them to work. You want them to work effectively and efficiently. And then the downside on the gut, so replace with prebiotics, which are some powders that you can get, inulin powders, and then gut health like bone broth, and also probiotics, at least 100 billion colonies, and then postbiotics, which sometimes in high quality probiotics are already included in it. Hey, Ken, I've always told my patients that foods that are rich, things like onions, garlic, and onions, garlic, and one more that escapes me, are actually good as precursors for for good bacteria, and those actually will help in gut health. There was a study that I read where they looked at stool analysis, and they found that they basically looked at the gut health, at the stool, the microbiome in the stool, and then they went back to see how healthy those people were. And people that ate generally high amounts of onions and garlic in their diet were found to have a gut microbiome that was healthier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that, but that sounds very plausible.
Yeah. So I do recommend things like garlic and onions. And that third one, man, goodness me, it's going to bug me now. But those kinds of foods in your diet are also good. And I think you mentioned that you were making some soups, and generally a lot of soup do have some form of onion or garlic in it. But if you're not, sensitive and you can tolerate it, then that might be a good thing.
And the brand that we were talking about for that symbiotic intensive was Pharmax. PHARMAX, and it's a HLC symbiotic intensive. That's the one I would typically pick for that.
All right. I hope that helps you, sir. Is there anything else we can help you with today?
Well, I just know that they recently measured me, and because they knocked another 2 inches off of my height, that my in-body is going to be, the in-body has been affected in that, too.
Sure, sure. And that's a very good point.
Anyways, that's when he looks at my thing this week, why he'll know, because he's due to take and give me a call.
Okay.
We'll talk more about it when I see you.
You're right. He will take into account that the height was shorter.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
When you start out at 5'9" and now you're 5'5", why, it makes a difference.
Oh, course, my gosh. You're absolutely right. It does.
I've had both of my legs cut off, too, you know. I mean, I have. So, anyway, because I have had knee replacements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that helped. Yeah, that will make a difference. Okay, I get it. He will be kind and sympathetic.
Very good. Thank you for the call, Dale. And time for one or two more calls for you. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Okay, so what should we discuss?
Well, I heard you mention Kirkland Clinic earlier, and mm-hmm. It is a lovely clinic. They have a lot of nice
That's
furniture
where
that
you
we've
have
set
your
up.
Office. Yes. Yes, it is a lovely clinic, and my office too.
they set up really nice. There's beautiful waiting areas with lovely furniture there, but the furniture wasn't always there.
Oh my gosh, Dr. Pentland.
So just a little anecdote. One time, it's because the staff, got the furniture, and they were very proud of the furniture they picked out, and it's very beautiful. But to play a prank on them, I switched out the furniture one day with my furniture.
He came in over the weekend, he removed the furniture, and he put his home furniture, and the team came back on Monday morning, and they go, did corporate not like what we chose? What did they do? Their choice is terrible.
They were so distressed and confused. I let them go for about 45 minutes. And then I told them they were being very ungrateful because it took me a couple hours to set it up.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, you'll have to come check it out for sure. All right. You ready for a phone call from Tacoma
Absolutely.
This time?
Absolutely. Let's take a phone call.
We have John on the line.
Hello,
welcome,
John.
John.
Hi. So for many years, I've had heartburn issues. Mm. And so I, you know, have a quart of Rolaid sitting in my suitcase and stuff like that. And I went to an urgent care and they said, you should try something else. And so they said Zantac would be a good choice. And I, mm-hmm. so I started using it. And for me, it's great. Instead of, two or three Rolaids for every meal, now it's, mostly, maybe one or two Zantacs a day. Mm-hmm. Mm. But I just wanted to check and make sure there weren't any hidden things in that particular thing that I need to watch out for.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, first of all, yes, you don't want to leave yourself burning. that's because that, like Dr. Umet said earlier, that can lead to cellular change in the esophagus, what's called Barrett's esophagus, where the esophagus starts to think it's the intestine because that's where acid is usually, or the small intestine, right after the stomach. So that's not what we want. But so anything that will prevent that is good. But like she also mentioned earlier, it's oftentimes due to a low stomach acid condition. That's it's not a matter of too much as much as it is in the wrong place. And the gateway, that lower esophageal sphincter, is closing at the bottom of the esophagus. We want to make sure that's closed at the right time. When you take something like Zantac, yes, it reduces the acid exposure to the esophagus, but it comes at a certain price because you're not assimilating the nutrients as well as you probably ought to be. And chances are you weren't even before you were taking the Zantac because of low stomach acid. Now, to get that lower esophageal sphincter closed when it's supposed to be closed, there could be different reasons why that's going on. Sometimes it's structural. Maybe there's a hiatal hernia there, which is when the stomach is starting to protrude above the diaphragm and up into the esophagus area where it shouldn't be, and that's going to leave a little pocket for acid to sort of accumulate sometimes. So that will contribute to these GERD-like symptoms. But other times, it's just a matter that the lower esophageal sphincter is relaxed in a low acid situation. Other things can do that too, like certain foods, tomato sauce, mint, coffee, chocolate. Those are the classic ones that cause the lower esophageal sphincter to relax more. And so acid was more allowed to escape upward and cause symptoms. Traditionally, or at least in the past, I've often used certain supplements to help close that lower esophageal sphincter. They're not a substitute for Zantac. They don't block stomach acid, but they help in a way that it's hard to explain. I guess it's not in modern pharmacology, but in traditional Chinese medicine, they used to use orange peel infusion to lower what they call rebellious stomach qi, which is qi, or stomach energy, okay. which showed up as nausea, belching, hiccups, and heartburn. Today, we use an extract of orange peel in a soft gel, which has a similar effect. And I'll often use that for patients to help get them off their acid-blocking medications so we can get the stomach working like it should be.
Mm. Interesting. You know, and then the other thing I would say is that ranitidine or your new medication, Zantac, is basically an antihistamine. Mm-hmm. It's an H2 blocker, and it is so it's better than the Rolaids, but now you're getting into the, you know, different class of medications. Like the next one up from there would be a proton pump inhibitor like Prilosec. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is they're blocking the acid production, which, as Dr. Pentland mentioned, is not the root cause of the problem. The root cause of the problem is the right acid in the wrong place. And so the question is, what is causing that problem for you? And you want to address the problem. So right now what you're doing is putting a Band-Aid on it. Mm-hmm. Not saying that that's not necessary, saying that it is important. Otherwise, you are likely to cause more problems. So you do find out, you do want to find out why. So if you haven't had an endoscopy from your GI physician, you probably should. And then, you know, if you're overweight, you want to kind of work on weight loss. Weight loss will help. And if it is a hiatal hernia, then you've often heard us say that testosterone, which is going to build skeletal muscle mass, will help by reducing the risk of that regurgitation. So lots of things that you can do. Sit upright after you eating, avoid spicy foods, avoid triggers, and avoid eating late at night. These are all very important things to do, and then reduce the dependency on the drugs and see if you can use it less frequently. Obviously, don't be in pain, but try to find out why are you experiencing the pain. It's never because there's too much acid. It's always because the right acid is in the wrong place.
Mm, okay.
So what was the orange thing?
Orange peel extract?
Orange peel extract. It's actually D-limonene in that soft gel. And you can find that on, you know, at supplement websites or possibly in certain supplement stores.
There you go. Probably just ask for the orange peel extract.
Yeah, I think if you Google orange peel extract, I'm sure it'll show something.
Yeah, I think the brand or the name of the product probably called Heartburn Free by Nature's Way, I think is the one you're looking for.
There we go. All right. Hopefully that is helpful for you, John. And we are going to go to our next. Okay, we'll go to our next caller,
thanks,
Mary.
John.
Thank you, John. We'll go to Mary now calling in from Buckley. Welcome, Mary.
Hello. Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. I have a question about the probiotics. And so we did, my naturopath, we did a MOAT test. And I know I've had a lot of candida in the past, and I guess it's still there. Anyway, with the probiotics, and I had started taking seed, the one Dr. Mixon likes. And so she told me to stop all of that completely. Sorry, I was outside, so now I'm kind of out of breath. and told me to take, oh, my God, now I need my glasses. It's just one. And it is, I probably won't even be able to say it. The Lactobacillus rhamnosus.
Rhamnosus.
And and a, let's see, probiotic blend in a base of inulin. And so I guess I'm asking, is it a good deal just to be taking this one for a while till the candida or whatever gets straightened out? Or should I still be taking a one that has a bunch of stuff in it, like the seed?
Well, there should have been a reason why they picked that specific one, wasn't there?
Well, I guess she likes it. I don't know. I didn't need all the other ones right now.
Well, and, a lot of the more common types. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, well, a lot of the more common types of probiotics out there, they find have different sort of properties or benefits for different things. And rhamnosus, I know, is a very specific kind that that they find helpful for certain things. I think they've been using it for people with on the autistic spectrum, things like that. But
not for saying, candida, right?
Anything that sort of helps fill the gaps in the real estate can help block candida. Candida is everywhere in our environment and in our system. You can never get rid of it 100%, and you don't necessarily want to. It has its own part to play in the ecology. It's when it grows out of control and starts
overgrown.
To cause symptoms.
Yeah,
it can produce like 72 different types of toxins, and that's what we experience when we have candida overgrowth. So keeping it in check and keeping the immune system on top of it is what we want to do. So we generally want to end up knocking it down a little bit to keep it under control and again keep the immune system primed, basically.
Okay. So I guess I'll just continue this one until the bottle's empty, because she said I can go back to the seed, you know, when eventually.
Well, she's probably trying to get you to a gut microbiome, and she didn't want too many interfering products, so that's why she chose one to see if you can get the results that she's looking for.
Okay, and that makes perfect sense now that you said that. Yeah. Okay, then. Any other suggestions for getting rid of this candida?
Candida, yeah. That's a good question.
Well, there are several types of protocols
out
there.
I'm trying to get sugar out, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeast feeds on sugar, so yeah, refined carbohydrates. And the severity to which you need to eliminate those can vary from practitioner to practitioner and patient to patient. So you don't always need to avoid, either sugar and green beans too. You don't need to avoid all of that.
Right. But
anything that has added sugar, you should definitely minimize or eliminate. And, okay.
Ask another quick question on that test that she did? It also showed up that I had mold spores in my system.
Right.
So now I'm in the process of finding mold in my house and getting rid of it. Is there something I can take that would help get rid of that?
Right. So mycotoxicity or mold exposure, that's a bit more of a second level than just sort of candida overgrowth. That often takes a little longer to address. But the general procedure is very much the same in terms of avoiding sugar and eliminating things that promulgate yeast. So,
they'll be able to
address
great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Were you saying that there's something else she can do for the candida?
Some type of antifungal agent, in addition to reducing the food source of the candidas. And my personal choice is nystatin because it stays in the gut, and that's usually where it's the most problem. And it doesn't impact things like liver function. You don't like Diflucan would do that. You have to watch that, but nystatin doesn't, and so that's why I generally go with that because you generally want to use the medication for a long period of time to get rid of the yeast, and you can't really do that very well with nystatin or with Diflucan.
Diflucan. Right? Okay. All right.
Is that a prescription?
Yeah, those are prescriptions.
Okay, yeah, because she mentioned that, and I think she's writing up for that. Okay, I know it's time for you guys to go. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you for your call.
So glad we got that in there, Mary. Yes, we have just a couple minutes left of the show. Doctors, any last good tips for gut health or as we're going into this fall season?
Well, it's the holiday season. I think the message is avoid the sugar.
No, we don't want to hear that. No, that's not what I was asking for. No. How about, is it too late to get flu shots?
No.
Okay, so...
I'm always known as the gut advocate, but I'm also an advocate of sleep, water, and vitamin D.
If
you're not getting
exercise.
Enough of those, you're also going to be more at risk for infection.
Yes, for sure. Sleep is very important. I'm an advocate for sleep all the time.
Yes. Yes. Same here. The older we get, the more we are big advocates, right? I know Dr. Mixon will sometimes take a little power nap in his office, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Good show, doctors. Thank you for all of the calls, too. Boy, a lot of gut questions today. Prebiotic, probiotic. Boy, I can't even say them all. So many things there. And we will, of course, continue on our next show as well. We're live back in the studio next week. And we invite you always to tune in to Leading Edge Medicine. You can also find our broadcasts from each week posted on our website. We call them podcasts by then because they are recordings. But you can also hear the information again and also share with your friends by going to lmclinic.com. And that's where you can sign up for that free health analysis appointment. Get in and become a patient at Longevity. So all of the things that we're talking about every week, you'll know. You'll go, yes, I need to do that. Or, okay, I'm doing that and I see a difference. That's why we're here with Longevity Medical Clinics. And if you'd like to make that appointment, you can call us today even. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 1-866-86-YOUNG. Have a great rest of your weekend. Welcome to November. It's here. And if you haven't already, get out there and vote. Vote, vote, vote. That's all we're going to say. All right. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Leading Edge Medicine.